الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا، والحمد لله الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد، والحمد لله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه. عباد الله، قال الله تعالى في كتابه المبين بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وبعد، one of the most amazing things happened to me just a few weeks ago, and that was I was sitting in the masjid speaking with some people after the Jummah prayer, and an individual approaches me and he hands me a card, an invitation. And I look at the invitation and it's a wedding, mashallah. And as you know, when people get married, everyone gets very excited. They get the cards printed with the date on it so that they let you know what date you can come to the wedding. So I looked at the card and I looked at the date, and I instantly knew when I saw the date for the wedding that I was not available to attend. So I looked at the brother and I thanked him. I said, thank you for taking the time and generously inviting me to celebrate with your family, but I won't be able to make it. And he had the most strange look on his face when I said this. He said, how do you know your schedule that far in advance? I said, well, I looked back down at the card and I saw that the date was very soon. I said, this isn't too far. This is in June. I mean, I know my schedule. I know I'm not like, you know, I'm not that bad, but you know, I know my schedule a few weeks in advance. And he said, no. Look at the year. And the wedding was scheduled for June of 2018. And he was handing me an invitation for the wedding of his child over a year in advance. And subhanAllah, the first thing that I thought of was how excited must a person be to think and plan. And if you've ever been part of a wedding plan, it takes up a big majority of your energy and your resources and your time. And this person has started the process of planning their wedding over a year in advance. And I thought to myself that this reminds me of a beautiful characteristic that the Sahaba had, not for weddings, but for Ramadan. That when you think of the month of Ramadan, a lot of us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see Ramadan, we look at our calendars, we look at our watches, and we fail to realize sometimes until it's too late that Ramadan is approaching very quickly. That the first night of Taraweeh will be 2 weeks from today, inshallah ta'ala, if the, you know, calendar suggests it. And we think to ourselves, man, it feels like we just did Eid. It feels like Ramadan just ended. I can't believe another year of Taraweeh, another year of Iftar, another year of Dua, another year of Quran. And when we look at the culture of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as interesting as excited as this brother was for the wedding of his child, the Sahaba had a very similar outlook with their month of Ramadan. The narrations tell us that after the month of Ramadan finished, the companions would pray as a part of their daily supplication, their daily dua. They would pray to Allah, oh Allah, accept from us our Ramadan for 6 months. They would be so concerned that their Ramadan was not accepted that they would actually spend the next 6 months, 180 days, asking Allah, oh Allah, accept our Ramadan. And this culture of asking Allah to accept is from the prophetic culture. Allahumma taqabbal minna. That when we ask Allah to accept, and you know what that acceptance or that asking, you know what it represents? It represents a state of humility. That the person realizes that Allah has the ability, if he so chooses, and if he looks at the work that we've done, to not accept it. One of my teachers in school, she used to say, if your paper has any mark in it, any crease, any wrinkle, anything, I'm not going to take it. And we would say, why? All the work is done. She says, because when you fold your paper, when you roll your paper, it's a sign that you don't care about your work. You treat it well if you care about it. So the companions would pray to Allah to accept. Why? Because they cared about their month. It wasn't just an assumption, oh, Allah will accept it. Look at what I've done for Allah. 30 days of fasting, 30 days of praying. Wow, I'm a special person. No, they had this sense of humility. And then after those 6 months had passed, they would make this dua. And this dua is the focus of today's khutbah. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. They would pray to Allah, oh Allah, allow us to reach Ramadan. Give us the privilege and blessing of being able to experience another Ramadan. And so in that way, if you look at the whole 12-month calendar, their entire year was Ramadan focused. Not a day went by except that they thought about the month of Ramadan. And this reminds me of a beautiful statement of Ibn Ata'illah, this very famous Islamic thinker and scholar. He said that if you were to take a bag of gold or diamonds or money, anything that's precious to human beings, okay? Maybe for some of us it's samosas, right? You were to take a bag of something so valuable, and he said, if you put it in the middle of a field of cows, of animals, they would not have any interest in your gold. But if you took a bag of grass, or grain, or barley, and you put it in that same field of cows, they would be excited and they would be rushing over to the bag to see what it was. But if we put that same bag of grass here at the ISBCC and we said, free grass, take some, we would probably end up with the same amount of grass that we started with. But imagine if we put that same bag of gold at the front of the door and said, free gold, take some. Right? So what the point he's trying to make is that if you don't see something as valuable, then you won't appreciate it. The cows don't appreciate gold because they don't care about gold. Humans don't care about grass because they don't appreciate it because they don't care about grass. And so our focus and our excitement is dictated by what we value. When you value something, you get excited at the prospect of it. So if we think of Ramadan and there's no sense of excitement, the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we value Ramadan? Is there any value for this month for us? Or is it just a yearly thing that we do? The Sahaba, they valued it. That's why they would pray every day regarding the Ramadan. And that dua that we're going to talk about, Allahumma balighna Ramadan, there is a sense of desperation when you understand what they're saying. It's not, oh Allah, please give us Ramadan if we can. It's desperation, oh Allah, if you don't give us Ramadan, I have no idea what I'm going to do. As they're opening their hands praying for this month, they're thinking about the last 11 months where shaitan has influenced them and trained them, and there's a long list of deficiencies that they have with their relationship with Allah, and the only solution for those problems they see is Ramadan. And so when we sit here 2 weeks away, I have to ask myself and everyone here has to ask themselves, how much have we asked Allah to deliver us to this month? Not out of convenience, not out of looking forward to the iftars and the reciters, but simply because we need this month to fix us, to get us right. You know, some of us have gone through things in this past year that have broken us, that has left us damaged. It could have been a layoff from work, it could have been a divorce, it could have been an illness, it could have been anything. Maybe there's family grudges. We need to see Ramadan as the time of fixing those things, of repair, of healing. And also, most importantly, it's the time of miracles. Ramadan is the time where everything you thought that was impossible becomes possible. And there's three examples from the seerah. The Prophet Muhammad, when he was at the age of 40, He had a practice of going to the mountains, going to his cave in Ghari Hira. And he would sit there and contemplate about the reality of society. I don't know how many of us have ever picked up a seerah book and read about what the culture was of the Meccan Arabs, and really the Arabs in all of Hijaz, what the culture was there, how they were, how far away they were from virtue and nobility and goodness and khair. They used to do things that, subhanAllah, we would, you know, even as troubling as the world is today for us with all of the war and death and poverty, they would do things in the culture of Arabia at the time of the Prophet ﷺ that would make even the most heinous person right now say, wow, that is bad. And so it's very easy for us to look at this country of people who would abuse their families, who would bury their daughters alive, who would rob people in the middle of a city, hold them up, people who would abuse alcohol. It's very easy for us to look at these people and say to them, they will never find guidance. I want you guys to imagine that I said to you that after inshallah Jumu'ah prayer, Bill O'Reilly wants to come take shahada, right? Or Donald Trump will be joining us for his shahada inshallah after the prayer. That's not true. There's a kid who's losing his mind right now. It's not true, right? But the point is, you all would say, no, I don't believe it. Why? Because we view people and things as being so far gone from Islam that there's no chance it would take a miracle. So you look at this city in the heart of Arabia and you look at their deficiency, their weakness, their brokenness, their distance from Allah, and you look at them from 10,000 feet and you say, man, these people will never get it right. And who does Allah choose to reveal the Quran to? Those people. In what month? Ramadan. Allah chose a month, Ramadan, to show the entirety of humanity from that point onward that there is nothing that is not accomplished in Ramadan if Allah wanted to be. He sends this book to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He sends these verses to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ goes, and over time, people respond with difficulty, but eventually they start to listen more and more. And you have the Hamzas radiallahu anhu who convert. You have the Umars who convert. Eventually you have the Abu Sufyans who convert. The Hinds who convert. You have all these people who everyone would have said there's no chance, and they accept Islam. When was this book revealed? In Ramadan. The time of miracles, the time where the impossible becomes possible. Another example from the seerah is the Battle of Badr. You know the Battle of Badr? When you think of the Battle of Badr, every Muslim thinks of victory, overcoming the odds. The Quraysh had a 3-1 lead, right? For those of you who know what I'm talking about, the Quraysh actually had 3 times the people that the Muslims had. And in fact, it was only by the generosity of the Ansar that the Muslims even had their 300 plus. Because there was no assumption for the Ansar. The Prophet ﷺ made a deal with them. You're taking us in, the Muhajirun, we're moving to Medina. One rule, you don't have to participate in any battle if it's from pre-existing fights. And so really, if you look at the amount of Muhajirin who could have fought, it would have been 80. Plus or minus. So the Ansar joined them, another miracle. And on the way to Badr, the Muslims are all concerned, scared. The night before the battle, the Prophet ﷺ has his hands up towards the sky, his arms spread, and he's begging Allah, oh Allah, do not allow us to be defeated. Begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quraysh, on the other hand, if you read the narrations, they were relaxing. They were dancing, they were singing. They thought that for sure, it is impossible that the Muslims will be able to conquer us tomorrow. We are going to win this battle. But amidst their dancing and celebration and singing, they forgot what month it was. It was the month of miracles. The month where the impossible becomes possible. And the Muslims ended up defeating the Quraysh and the Meccans in that battle. In a battle that was statistically impossible for the Muslims to win. And the third example that we know from the seerah of historic miracles that happened in Ramadan was the conquest and opening of Mecca without a single drop of blood. That this city, that when the Prophet ﷺ was leaving this city of Mecca, when he was leaving 10 years prior, he looked back at the city and he began to cry. When he was making his hijrah to Medina, he looked back at Mecca and he began to cry. Why? Why cry? If you know that you're going to come back, the thing is, he didn't know. And he said, if I were not commanded to leave you, I would have never left you. It's his hometown. It's where he's from. It's his city. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, years later, allows the Muslims who are seen as barely surviving to grow and prosper and come back and reunite them with their extended families and their hometown and where they lived without a single drop of blood. This would have been seen as impossible. The Muslims are running away from Mecca. If you told them one day you will come back and you will be the leaders here, they would have said there's no way. But the month of Ramadan makes a way. So what's the point of this whole khutbah? What's the point of talking about this? Everyone in this room needs miracles. When we say the word miracle, everyone kind of gets a little bit like, what? Everyone needs miracles. There are things that you think in your life will never happen. There are things that you think in your life will never ever come true. No matter how hard you work, you're just never going to get there. And the answer is, without Allah, you're right. But this month that's approaching us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach it. It is the month where all of those things that are on the shelf of impossibility, they become possible. And the only thing that dictates what we get is how hard we work in this month. Do we now see why the Sahaba would say, Allahumma balighna Ramadan? Because every day during the rest of the year, they would think to themselves, I could never do that. It will never happen. You had the companion who was a chronic alcoholic saying, I will never conquer my addiction. And the month of Ramadan, he looked forward. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. You had the spouses, the couple who would fight day in, day out, all 11 months of the year. And they would look forward to the month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, give us Ramadan. You had the people who couldn't conceive a child, 11 months of the year, trying to have children, looking forward to the month of Ramadan. Why? Because this is the month where Allah gives what He does not give the rest of the year. The point of this khutbah was nothing more than to remind us how in need of Ramadan we are and how excited we have to get for this month. Because as Ibn Ata'illah said, you only get excited about the things that you value. May Allah give us the ability to value this month. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin wal muslimat fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على إمام الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم آمين. There's a famous saying about planning that says that if a person plans to fail, sorry, if they fail to plan, then they plan to fail. That if a person does not take the time to think and strategize about what they want to accomplish in something, they will never succeed in anything. I'm going to give everybody two pieces of advice that I am going to do this Ramadan. This is mine. This is the recipe for Abdurrahman's Ramadan. And if you'd like, you can share it. Number one is I want to truly every day take time and be alone with Allah where I can make dua to Him. Not with people. That's good. Not when people tell me to make dua. That's good too. But what is great is when you find yourself alone where no one else is with you and you open your hands and you call to Allah. Ibn Ata'illah, he says that a person will never be able to make dua properly until they understand one secret. You want to know what that secret is? He says the secret is the person has to truly understand how helpless they are. They have to truly grasp how needy they are. You know, you want to know why? Because if I don't believe that I'm needy, how sincere will my request be? If I think that I handle all of my life, how sincere will my request be? But if I realize that without the permission of this one, that the thing that I'm asking for will never come true, then the tears start to flow. Because you realize how helpless you are. You realize that you have no control over your situation. And so my goal for this month is to humble myself. Because arrogance is the drug of the person who thinks that they don't need anything. Arrogance is the source. It's the fuel for the person who thinks they take care of themselves. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ I'm better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ As Shaitan said, I'm better than him. I don't need that. Whatever you're telling me to do, I don't need it. Right? Arrogance is that fuel. So my goal for this month, may Allah grant us all success, is humbling myself to where my dua actually leaves my hands. Because a lot of our dua is shackled by the weight of arrogance. It doesn't even leave the hands. May Allah forgive us. The second goal that I have is that Ramadan is a time of inner purification for ourselves, but it's also a time of community purification, family purification. And my goal, inshallah, this month is to identify the people that I have wronged in my life. Those that I have hurt with my words, my statements, my actions. And to go and beg forgiveness from them. Because truly there will be a group on the Day of Judgment that they will have nothing against or between them and paradise but the people that they've wronged. And they will be staring at the gates of Jannah begging to get in. But the people that they've hurt will be standing in between. And they'll say, why did you treat me this way? And so my goal for this month is to apologize and seek forgiveness from those that I've wronged. And we may think that, you know what, this one doesn't apply to me very much. But unfortunately, as human beings, we've all made mistakes here and there. So be honest with yourself and try to rectify the situations in your home, with your friends, with your family, with your community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the excitement and value for Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan we've ever had. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of the intentions we have for this month and to make the best of it come true. And we ask Allah to protect us from any calamity this month that might take us away from Him. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen. Innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة